Welcome to Sound Mind. I'm Justin Haas. This is DVD. We're about to blow out your ear holes.
Blow them out of your head.
Of your freaking head.
Into the earth. Into the Mother Earth.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Mother Gaia, bless us with your presence today.
I love when you do that.
I just breathed you in.
Oh, you just soaked up all the stink in this room.
Yeah, I did. And I farted earlier and everything.
You're like one of those air fresheners that just sucks up the nasty. I wish that my air fresheners would do that motion.
And then go, thank you, Mother Gaia.
Yeah, totally.
Today we exist.
We do. As we did yesterday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about talking about a song that we made. Do we want to talk about the song that we made?
We can.
We've touched on it before.
Yes,
just as we've touched each other.
Wow.
But
not exactly sure what he means by that.
Are we gonna do a proper unveiling? Are we gonna say like what it's called? Or are we just gonna allude to it?
Let's be on the lookout. Yeah, we can do like what it's called and
okay.
Do a little be on the lookout, but then we need to unveil this thing fully in the near future.
We need to slowly unclothe it.
No, we need to rip the curtain off.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is
like
violent.
You don't know? Now you know. But on the curtain there's a name.
And the Poopy?
Name is not that. No, but for real, man, this is exciting.
This is exciting.
All right, so
it's not called Poopy.
No.
It's not even called anything close to that.
No, it's not. What is it called?
So we've been calling it Grinding Teeth.
Yeah.
It's not as disturbing as you would think based on the name.
True.
But it's a very strange song.
Very strange.
That we made with Daniel Taylor. I was there. Stevie was there. Daniel was there. And together we did something.
We had a child named Grinding Teeth.
Together.
Which is interesting because babies aren't born with teeth.
Because it ground them all away.
No, that's not why.
Oh, yeah,
they just
aren't
born with teeth.
Yeah, you're right. but yeah, it's a really weird track. We're going to put it out at some point, and it's a little bit vibey. It's a little bit nuts. It's a little bit
in your face.
It's a little bit in your face.
Yeah.
Multiple people have heard it, and they have all enjoyed it? Question mark?
Yeah. I don't know if all the people I've let listen to it enjoyed it.
But yeah, same.
Yeah. Some did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good ratio. But the people that didn't enjoy it, the reason they didn't enjoy it was because they were like, it's too weird.
Right.
They weren't just like, oh, it's just a bad song.
Right.
Because otherwise I would have just killed them.
And now that you totally did that impersonation, they're going to know you're talking about them.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Talk about you, Jessica.
Don't ever talk crap about our songs.
Shut up, Jessica. Shut up. Shut up when you're talking to me.
I love it. I'm excited. Yeah. We do want to hear your guys' comments and know how you guys feel about it. We have yet to receive, I think, maybe one or two comments on our podcast.
Oh, yeah?
So why don't you guys blow us up, you know, all seven of you that
are
watching.
Why don't we talk about the comments?
We need to. Well, because there haven't been any.
Well, you just said there's two. I didn't even know there was two.
I don't even know if there is two. Two maybe that I noticed later. Good point, but
yep.
If it was comment like, and then 2 weeks later I noticed, which is not going to happen ever again. I've dug myself a hole here.
Yeah.
But we want to converse with you. We want to engage in a conversation. We want to hear what you guys think.
We want to get inside you or your brain.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you dug me out of that hole.
Yeah.
By digging yourself into one.
Yeah. But in comparison, it's a much deeper hole. It's like, oh, he's fine because Justin's deeper in the ground.
Right. Now there's a comparison. It's like, oh, Stevie's not really in a hole. He's just, you know.
There,
right.
Yeah,
we want to talk about some stuff today.
We do, and the stuff and things that we wanted to talk about,
yeah,
to divulge and explain and converse about
right.
is a film, which I know this is a music and philosophy podcast. However, and
philosophy.
Philosophy. That's what we're truly getting into today.
Yeah.
And also there's music in a movie, so shut your mouth. But also...
Jessica.
Shut up, Jessica. Shut up. I'm tired of hearing about it. So anyway, this movie is called Joker, and it is directed by Todd Phillips. I have not seen this movie. It is out today, I think.
Wow.
So when we're recording this, obviously, because we exist in the past to you, if you're hearing it. This already happened.
That's a trip.
This is not live. But yeah, it's out for us, and we haven't seen it yet because we're losers and we have families.
Wow. I agree with the second part of that.
And it's been, I mean, people say controversy about it. I don't know if it's been like controversy per se, but there's been a lot of discussion around it for sure. And some comments have been made. Some things have been stated. Questions have been asked. Let's get into it.
Let's answer
some of these questions.
So before we do that, just to go over what you said a second ago, this podcast is a music and philosophy podcast, and we can cover a lot of ground with that.
It's a lot of ground.
That's a lot of ground. Today, wait, did I say philosophy?
You did.
That's right.
It's right.
Okay.
What did you think you said?
Psychology, but I guess it's kind of similar.
It's kind of similar, but also we have these now.
Right.
Have you used these before?
I don't remember.
These little foamy bits?
I don't remember if I had them on last week.
I don't think so.
But we should have been using them a long time ago.
Yeah.
The other thing that needs to stop happening is you hitting the table. I just confronted him live.
I can't promise that I won't
just
do that.
Just try to, though.
Okay.
Because this is connected to the table, and every time you do that, we get this little boom in our audio, which is going to be cool when you do that little drum thing you did.
Right.
Hopefully it's cool.
It'll probably be super cool.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because I'm super cool.
That's debatable.
It is debatable, and I would win that debate because I'm so flippin' awesome.
Awesome, yes. Cool.
I'm pretty cool.
You are pretty cool.
Wait,
as not.
Hold on. Are you saying I'm hot? Not cool?
No.
I'll take that.
No.
I'll take hot.
I'm not saying that at all.
I just did it.
Wow. Yeah, this is going to be a long day. I'm kidding.
It was long already.
Yeah,
let's be honest. I woke up way too early.
Did you?
Because I got a work text.
Oh.
And I was like, shut your mouth when you're talking to me, yeah. Jessica.
Jessica.
I'm so done with this.
Get off of my life when
you're talking to me about that.
Yeah. You know what's funny? My toddler, my three-year-old toddler, he made his way up to our computer, and he started playing this kid's show that was like on pause from earlier in the day. And I said, Judah, you didn't ask to watch anything on the computer. You need to shut it off. And he looks at me and he goes, no, Dad, I'm not about that. I was like, what?
Do you know what I'm about?
Yeah.
Turns off computer.
I couldn't right away because it was just too cute and funny. Like, I've never said I'm not about that to my kid.
Yeah.
And here's my toddler like, no, Dad, I'm not about that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. We're going to get him on.
Yeah.
Get him on this podcast.
Yeah, we should. We can blur out his face, right?
So let's go back to the comments. Yeah, we'll blur out his face. Jessica had comments about this movie.
Yeah. Jessica said, Todd Phillips, don't you think it's crazy of you to make a movie about a white crazy person that kills a bunch of people? Don't you think that could incite some violence? And to that, Todd Phillips, to paraphrase, said, ha, maybe. No, he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He said probably something really intelligent that I don't remember. But these questions have been asked by people. Essentially, this movie makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It really emphasizes the Joker's mental illness factor, right? Because it's a pretty big factor in this character's history. He has always been crazy. I don't know if that's ever not been the case. And that's been his main feature.
Yeah.
Is that he's absolutely nuts.
Crazy.
And so to pretend like this is the first movie where this is a mentally ill character is like, no, you are completely incorrect, Jessica. He's always been mentally ill. So shut your hole.
That's how he was written.
That's how he was written from the beginning.
Right.
Jessica.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Wow.
Anyways, so that kind of frustrates me because it's like, why aren't we talking about this like 10 years ago, 20 years ago? These characters existed for a long flipping time. So why, like, why is it now that you're raising that question? Mm-hmm. The second thing that frustrates me is kind of the morality piece of mm-hmm. it, because when people are asking, do you think that maybe you should make a different movie because this movie could cause people to go out and kill people? You're putting the basis for morality on an entertainer. You're telling someone that makes movies, which are entertainment, you need to dictate what morality is to your viewers. And an entertainer should not be put in that position for a myriad of reasons, one of which is, this is a normal guy who has an objective. And his objective in making a movie should not be to communicate what is right and wrong, I don't think. It should be to communicate something. But you, as a viewer, already have some kind of basis, or should have, maybe that's the better way to put it, should have some kind of basis for what's right and wrong. And you should be comparing that against your own ideas of what is right and wrong, right? Because no rational person, I should say, is going to watch Breaking Bad and go, wow, this seems like great life choices, right? Because I don't know if y'all have seen Breaking Bad, but that does not end well for essentially anyone involved.
Correct.
It is a complete cluster cuss by the end of it. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't personally understand why someone would take the position of entertainment needs to be responsible for communicating morality. If so, we are screwed. Six ways to Sunday. Because you're going to be getting all kinds of conflicting information from different sources, because different people are different. And you're just going to be taking it all in. And it's going to exist as just a complete whirlwind of ideas in your flipping brain, dude.
Right. So what we're talking about here, this movie Joker, and these two things that just burn. Chap your hiney.
They chap my flipping hiney hole.
Yeah. Wow. Why? You can't add hole. Like, my kids can even say butt in our house, but they cannot say butthole. And here I am doing it on my podcast that they'll probably watch and be like, Dad, you said it.
Did they really?
But I can say it when I'm talking about what they can't say.
Yeah, you can.
So that makes it okay.
You can define the ground rules, yeah.
Yes, but chaps your hiney.
Yep.
So
that it does.
Yeah, let's get into that thing.
Yeah.
You know, something that comes to mind is, I think I have a handful of conversations I can think of that come to mind that I've had with my children.
Right? Uh-huh.
Don't jump on that. Damn reveals. Don't lie. All these different kind of things that I'm trying to teach them, you know. one to spare my furniture, some more moral.
Yeah,
those are the first two that came to mind.
But is that order of times that you said it, or
I'm just like the couch? I feel like I say that, you know, 50 times a day.
The couch is for sitting,
right?
Couches are for heinies.
Yeah, well, it's chairs, it's everything. It's get off my laptop. That's not a horse. Yeah, it's funny. This is real.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, these conversations come to mind. I've had them hundreds of times, and I know, you know, parents listening, they can relate. You have to thread in ideas over time for them to stick. I mean, there's things that, like, you want morally to be ingrained in your children, and you saying it once is never going to be the thing that creates a brick in their life that when they're older, they're like, I do not depart from this because I heard my parents say it once.
Yeah.
Or this is who I am because I watched a 2-hour movie about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even just the idea, I think, to be able to instill that level of moral, you know, threading into a life through a movie mm-hmm. is that's, you know, that's already a ridiculous idea in itself.
Yeah.
You know, you watch and listen to stuff. Like I said, it's got to be repeated over time. So a movie's mm-hmm. never going to be able to be some kind of huge, one movie's not going to be able to be some kind of huge role model for your children or for you, you know, or any entertainment for that matter.
This is true, and nor should it be treated as such. And I think that's my main issue with this, yeah. is that people are treating it like a moral source, I guess, like a source of moral information.
Yeah.
But, you know, different, like I said earlier, different people have different ideas of what is moral. You know, you might have some guy make a religious movie in the vein of Islam with the idea that, you know, women need to be covered from head to toe when they go out into public. That's something that you should be comparing against something, right? You shouldn't just take stuff in without asking questions.
Right.
And we say that like a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, because it's true.
It is true.
And we speak the truth around
here. And you need to hear that and accept it yeah. without questioning it.
Wow. Wow.
But basically what I'm saying is I don't understand. Like people are using the word controversy about this. And to me, it's just this is just people they just don't know. It's like they see that people do take morality from or maybe insinuate morality from certain things, like certain serial killers reading a certain book and going, oh, well, that's inspiring me to go and kill these people. I don't think that is entirely accurate, just based on, you know, some of the research that I've done, which is, you know, paltry. It's not a lot.
Right.
But I don't think there's a lot of grounds to that. I think a lot of people are looking for an answer to skew it a certain way.
Right.
And they get the answer that they want, but...
Yeah, so let's kind of dig into this a little bit more, maybe some of the roots. Because a lot of times what I see when people are trying to blame things, like big things, on entertainment, movies, songs, you know, whatever... I think we talked about the Black Sabbath stuff back in the day. Like, oh, they have a reverse track going on, or you play this song backwards and it's, you know, the devil talking to you or something crazy.
Yeah.
I think when people do that, a lot of the times I see it, there's some kind of fear factor going on, you mm-hmm. know? And like with the Joker role, we talked a little bit about this earlier before we turned the camera on. There's been controversy around that role for years, you know, mm-hmm. even when, you know, Jack Nicholson played Joker in the first Tim Burton Batman in the 90s, there was talk about how that role affected him. And, you know, you watch that now and you're like, well, that's like the lightest Joker there's, you know, ever been. But, yeah, I mean, the way he was written in the comic books, he's a psychopath. He is a villain. He's crazy and without reason. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who that part is. And then just to skip, like Heath Ledger's Joker, right? There was some stuff that happened when Dark Knight came out or when it was premiering, or I think, I can't remember, some kids came into a theater with some guns and shot some people up.
Yeah, I think it was one guy, unless I'm missing this.
Yeah, maybe it was
the Aurora Theater, right?
You see, I don't have the facts. I just remember
something happened.
Yeah, something happened. People got shot, and I think anyway, I can't remember. But again, right after that, there was controversy, and I think he might have even been dressed up. You know, Batman's got this thing about it anyway. You know, like this occult following type of feel, and then Joker has his own piece of that, you know, because we went and saw Dark Knight Rises at the premiere, you know, and you got people in line dressed up, you know, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it was even that one that it happened at. I can't remember. But anyway, you know, that happened. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, that's probably on the minds of people as this new Joker movie's coming out.
Right.
You know, is that going to happen again? I mean, it's the same exact thing like when the Columbine shooting happened, right? Then it was, that was huge. I remember the first real, at least on my end of things, feeling like that was the real first attack at video games, violent video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was kind of talk, but when the Columbine shooting happened,
yeah,
you know, then it, they, you know, it was really hard when after the video games, and you know,
yeah,
these being the source of why that would happen or why people would do that.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, just a lot of fear involved. And again, like, nobody wants people to get shot or people to get hurt. But at yeah. the same time, we got to be realistic, you know. The Joker can't make somebody, the role of the Joker can't make anybody shoot anybody.
Right.
You know, and if a movie is going to set somebody off like that, there's been some issues at play for a long time going on in that person, you know.
Yeah.
And probably not the first time that they've hurt or done anything like that. Maybe the first time anybody knows about it.
Yeah. Know,
but.
Well, I mean, in all the things that you've been mentioning, I think a recurring theme is people operating without oversight. In the case of the Columbine shooting, it's like these kids were allowed to operate without any kind of intervention. And a lot of people would say from their school, but I'm talking about parents.
Yeah.
Because a school can have thousands of students, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've only got, well, hopefully you have two parents, but, mm-hmm. you know, where you go home to is like, those are the people that are responsible for you.
Right.
And they know you the best.
Right.
And so I think it's a little disingenuous to blame a school.
Mm-hmm.
For something like that, because, I mean, what are we saying? You know, like, what are we saying? Like, they live at school, like, the school is their guardian? Like, are we saying that they're a child of the government? Like, do they belong to the state?
Right.
Is the state responsible for the outcome? Like, these are all, like, these are all questions that I'm asking, like, whenever I hear something like this.
Yeah, great questions. And I think more people need to ask those questions.
Yeah. 'Cause
you get this weird, you know, I didn't really mean to dive into this, but since you brought it up, you get this weird feeling of like Americans going, well, Washington State or, you know, the federal government of the United States isn't responsible for my children or how I discipline or, you know.
Right.
But then on the other end, you know, we want to blame them when something doesn't go right or the schools or, you know, the government.
Yeah.
And so there's like this convoluted, well, do you or do you not want us to be responsible, right? And then on our end. So I think asking those questions needs to clarify some things and maybe even bring us to some answers that aren't pretty.
Right.
So that we can make decisions differently. I mean, it even happens in the church a lot with parenting.
Yeah.
Is my children's perception of God and other people the church's responsibility or their youth group leader's responsibility or their Sunday school teacher's responsibility? Or is that my responsibility as their father and my wife's responsibility as their mother? And not saying that people don't partner with that, but it's our responsibility first as parents, you know?
Yeah.
And we fail, you know, life gets busy, you know, things happen and you didn't have any, family Bible study or, you know what I mean? Like talk with them and stuff like that happens. But, you know, we're supposed to impart that to our children morals, religious ideas, the feeling, you know, who God is. That's not, you know, these kind of things don't come from third parties.
Yeah.
I mean, they help assist, but we actually put boundaries around our children to protect them from third parties that would, you know, not necessarily conflict, because ideas that conflict are healthy too for you to balance what you believe.
Right.
But ideas that would lead to toxicity in, you know, in young people's life. But again, that brings up another issue. You know, I don't know what the stat is, but how many children, what's the percentage of children growing up with both parents at home in America today? You know,
That's not high.
It's rhetorical. I don't expect you to, you know, throw out this answer, but.
Right. I mean, I know that it has gone up significantly.
That's good to know. That's great.
I don't remember where I heard this from. Yeah, I'm blanking.
Yeah.
But I remember reading about
it's on the upswing.
Yeah, that's why they call it that's why they call Zoomers the fatherless generation.
Mm-hmm.
Is because there's just so few dads out there. It's like single moms raising a huge percentage, like way too many. And I know that it's more than doubled since like the 90s.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. And so the support, I mean, me raising my kids with my wife, sometimes I think, you know, and we're raising our grandson, also.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, how do people do this? Single parents, there's no way we could do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there probably is, but in my mind, I'm like, that would be crazy.
Cause me
and my wife are such a team, and like, she is so strong in areas that I am not, and vice versa. You know, if I didn't have her to fill in those spots, my poor kids, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure, you know, on the other end as well for her. And so, you know, I grew up without my dad really in the picture and hugely affected me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a big part of what we're dealing with. So I think that definitely on my end, the parents are first responsible for investing, imparting morality, worldview, you know, to their children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. That's really heavy. It's really heavy to think about because, sorry for yawning.
No.
I woke up early this morning. It's really heavy to think about because I think we put so much emphasis on freedom in America. It's like, you're free to abort your kid if you want.
Right.
You're free to leave your kids if you want. Like, you're free to do whatever you want, you know? And like the idea that somebody could leave their kids and not have any kind of like moral, I mean, I want to say like that should kill you inside, that you would leave your kids to, you know, whatever the world has for them without you. Like, that should mess with your head, like, that you would do that.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think you were one of those kids. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you personally, but parents were one of those kids.
You know?
And so it doesn't kill you because you don't know any different. And then we get into these generational patterns and just reproduce the same thing over and over again.
Right.
You know, like, my dad didn't have a close relationship with his dad. He didn't get what he needed from his dad. Now, here I was, like, in my 20s, not growing up with a dad, hurt by not having that, and reengaging with my dad and realizing he never had it to give anyway. He was just a broken son in adult form. You know, it didn't change what I needed as an infant and a kid being raised up. You still need what a dad is supposed to be.
Right.
But my dad never had it to offer. And so, again, it was a cycle repeated that if I hadn't, you know, stepped in and gotten some health and, you know, changed the generational lines, my kids would be dealing with the same thing. And I'm sure there's still aspects that they are dealing with because of, you know, how I was raised. But, you know, we've shifted that pattern in our family.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing with us as Americans, we're super reactionary.
Yeah.
You know, our government And just as a civilization, society, like, we're just very reactionary. You can see it in liability issues, right? Mm-hmm. We have all this paperwork, like, because everybody's afraid of liability, mm-hmm. right? Like, we need to do it this way so that in case something bad happens, I'm not held responsible. And then when something bad happens, you know, we make all these laws real quick because we're like, we need to fix this. You know, we're America. We're going to make sure this never happens again, which is crazy because bad things happen, you know, and you can protect and you can try to build boundaries and you can try to harness life, you know, in a way to avoid some of that, but bad things are still going to happen.
Right.
You know, and, so because we're super reactionary, somebody gets shot up at a school or at a theater or whatever, what can we do to fix this? What can we do to fix this right now to make sure it never happens again, or that the, you know, the parents, you know, feel better about the situation, or, you know what I mean? Like, obviously that's never going to happen. You know, there can be justice and you can go through levels of healing and stuff, but like, you can't fix something like that by being reactionary. Well, you can't fix it no matter what you
do. Well, yeah, because you're reacting to a symptom.
Exactly.
And so you only ever react to the symptom. To go to the cause, to go deeper, you have to – that's not reactionary.
Right.
You're planning. You're going out of your way to look for something, and that's not a reactionary thing. Right. A reaction is like – oh my gosh, there's this problem. I got to put it out really quick. And I just got to...
Yeah.
And then you try to take care of it.
Right.
And then the problem just keeps popping up. And so you're just like trying to stamp out all these symptoms without addressing the cause of it.
Right.
Yeah. And we're really good at that.
Yeah, we do it all the time. And not only do we do it all the time, it's like we do it in a way that, to me, it promotes this idea that this is the right way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the way we deal with it. You know, president's making an address for this thing that happened, you know, and it just reinforces that idea that we should be reactionary. You know, I would be interested in knowing how the numbers are going back up on the fatherless piece.
Mm.
You know, I would love to believe that it's probably because some people were asking the question, what's the problem here and what can we do about it? And maybe going and looking at the root and doing some work there. And maybe that's why the numbers have turned around.
Oh, they haven't turned around. Sorry. What I meant was
it's way worse.
The numbers of fatherless children
have doubled. Oh, wow. Oh, so that, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I
when
think.
I said, yeah, I not, said, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't being sarcastic.
I thought you were.
Yeah. No.
if my memory serves, I think it went from like 25 to over 60% in big cities. I think it was specific to that. But
yeah.
That is a huge number.
Huge.
That is like bananas.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend that. But
yeah. Okay. Well, that makes more sense. I thought you were saying that it's turned around.
We're on the turnaround.
Yeah.
It's probably worse than it's ever been.
That's what I would imagine. Yeah, it's crazy. And reactionary doesn't ever really teach anybody to take responsibility for what caused the issue. And I think that's our issue with the liability stuff is nobody wants to say, hey, this was my fault.
Mm.
You know, I missed it. I screwed up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And what's crazy to me is like, you know, we're looking at everybody else to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like if and once again, it's like it's all reactionary. So you might have like a city with a huge drug problem. And the expectation is that cops are just going to take them all out. Like just take them all out and the problem's gone. Just get rid of the drugs, kill all the drug dealers. Put away all whoever, and then the problem will go away. But that's just not true because people that are addicted to drugs are coping, right? They're coping with something. And until they deal with that, it's like that's not going to go away. Yeah. They're just going to cope with something else.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's really crazy. You know, heroin was manufactured as a non-addictive replacement for
morphine.
Morphine.
Yeah. I don't think it was supposed to be safer. It was supposed to be, I don't know for sure, but it was the military, I think. They were trying to come up with a less addictive alternative to morphine.
And yeah,
I think
isn't that what I said?
I don't remember. Yeah. That's not how I interpreted it, but maybe I'm just tripping. But, and I think it is less addictive.
Heroin?
Yeah.
Than morphine?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But it's, I mean, obviously, it's like degrees of horrible, right? So it's like it's still super addictive.
Yeah.
But morphine is like, withdrawals will kill you sometimes. I don't know how with heroin what it's like, but
yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah, I won't go into all that stuff because that'll lead us on another tangent. But yeah,
I love this.
Yeah, I do too usually. But if I get into the drug world talk, then it'll be the rest of this podcast.
It could be.
Yeah. Are you trying to push me into that direction?
A little bit. I don't know.
I don't think that any opiate, if I remember right, the withdrawals from opiates will not cause death, if I remember right.
Mm.
Symptoms of the withdrawal will, like dehydration.
Interesting, yeah.
But as far as I know, the two substances that can kill you from withdrawals, alcohol and benzodiazepines, which is like... that's some of what they found in Heath Ledger's, system.
Yikes.
I think he was a mixture between opiate and benzos. And that's when you mix those two. Like, that's a scary place to be.
No, thank you.
But, yeah, benzodiazepines will, you'll actually seize,
Wow.
If you come straight off of them. Yeah. Interestingly enough, when you are coming down off of alcohol... as an addict who's, used it for a long time, alcoholic or whatever you want to call it, they will give you benzos to taper you off the withdrawals of the alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they'll use the benzo, then they'll taper you off the benzos.
Wow, yeah. That's intense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So heroin is an opiate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the opiate.
The almost. King?
Or, yeah.
I'm not an expert.
Oxycontin. No, and I'm not either. Well, yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not an expert. I've had a lot of experience with all of it.
Yeah.
On multi different levels. Yeah. But anyway, I'll leave it there.
We'll just leave it there.
And you guys do your research and tell me if I'm close to right or whatever.
Yeah, and please don't try to learn from experience.
Yes. No. Take it from people who have already been through it, screwed some level of their life up, and are trying to do it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, The Joker, are you going to watch it?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, should we jump back a bit into that of, this idea of does entertainment need to convey morality? Are the directors, producers, actors responsible for that? And me and you have gotten into debates on that.
Right.
To some degree.
Yeah. I think I think that's really tricky because Breaking Bad is a great example. The show contains horrible things. Murder.
Right, yeah.
All kinds of violence. The main characters commit all kinds of violence.
Right.
They cook meth, for crying out loud. And they sell it and they make money. The show is not trying to say this is a great idea,
right?
But it does depict it.
Yeah.
But if you're not watching it with the right mindset, you might watch it and go, wow, those guys are so cool. They're, yeah. And then I'm going to be just like them when I grow up. Like, that's not the fault of the creators, because the creators are making a story about two people that make all the wrong choices.
Right.
So if you identify with those wrong choices, that's on you. That's not on the people who made the thing.
Right.
Because the end, nobody can watch the entirety, in their right mind, once again, nobody can watch the entirety of Breaking Bad and say, yeah, everything they did, great idea. Like, I'm definitely going to follow in their footsteps. 100% cool. awesome. Yeah. The whole point of the story is that that's not the way to be. And I think Joker is probably the same way. It's probably going to be like this super tragic story about this guy that made all the wrong choices because his head was screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
That should be sobering, but that shouldn't be like, we shouldn't view that as like a call to arms for all the crazy white dudes out there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I don't think so.
Yeah.
And because it's not a propaganda piece, because I think there's a difference between a propaganda piece and art. A propaganda piece is trying to get you to do something.
Right.
Like, you know, the Nazis made all kinds of like propaganda pieces that I would argue are not art because they had an agenda. Right. I think if something has an agenda, it's not really art. Yeah, but that's a whole other.
We've talked about that a little bit. Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation. But so I think that at the very least, that kind of thing is like, it's hard to measure.
Right.
Because you need to know what the motives of the creator is, and you don't necessarily know that when they create something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that at the very best, I would be hesitant to say anything like that. But
right, yeah. Well, it's interesting because it does look, the previews have kind of been a mystery to me on this movie.
Yeah,
because I'm like, it doesn't really look like anything happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, this is interesting as a concept for the movie, but also the promotion. You know, I can't think of any time a movie's promoted itself like that. You know, I'm sure it's happened, but so again, when you're talking about this, like a narrative of a personal man's story, maybe that's one of the reasons why people are getting more on that, you know, bandwagon than the other Jokers. I don't know. Because Joker's been a part of Batman's story, but it's really just how much of a lunatic he is and, you know, Batman trying to stop him from what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily like, this is who I am and, you know, this is like personally, you know, following that narrative or creating that narrative.
Right. Well, I mean, from the beginning, I think the Joker was a fantastic villain for Batman.
Yeah.
Because Batman's a detective. He figures things out. He's like, well, what's their plan? What is he trying to do?
Yeah.
And then he uses that information to foil them in some way.
Yeah.
But the Joker, he doesn't really have a plan per se. He's crazy. He just does whatever.
Yeah.
And so Batman's trying to figure him out, but you can't figure him out because he's nuts.
Right.
And so they're great adversaries in that way because they're completely at odds in terms of character. Batman's trying to bring order. The Joker is trying to bring out chaos.
Right.
Like they're different in every respect.
Yeah.
And that's why he has lasted so long, is because they exist so well together.
Yeah. He's one of the best villains of all time.
Oh yeah, easy. Yeah. But especially because of his placement. Yeah. Like if he was opposite to a character other than Batman, we might not think that he's a great villain because what the story is communicating is different depending on who he's going against. Mm-hmm. But because we know who Batman is, we're experiencing the Joker through Batman's eyes and we're like, wow, this is riveting to watch because what is Batman going to do?
Right. Well, it's interesting. Because Batman's already, he's a very psychological superhero.
Yeah,
there's a lot of psychological aspects into him and the whole story, you know, and so it's just interesting. That's not true, you know, for a lot of superheroes or a lot of those, you know, stories. But
definitely.
Because you know, Batman's kind of, in some way, avoids, you know, uses these things to avoid truth that he's experienced in his life, hurt, trauma, you know, it's kind of all about who he is.
Yeah.
You know, where Joker embraces the psycho, like, part of it. And so you see that scene in Dark Knight when Heath Ledger plays the Joker and he's in the holding cell.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps making comments and pushing Batman to, you know, where he's like, I love that whole scene, just the back and forth talk. It's one of the best of all time.
Dude, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, that movie's just so good.
Yeah.
There's a reason that it's so beloved, and it's because it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, just as a fan, it'll be cool to see what he does with that role Phoenix. What's his first
Joaquin?
Name? Joaquin. Joaquin, yeah.
Yeah.
See what he brings to that.
Yeah,
because Heath Ledger set the bar high.
He did. He really, really did. We were talking about Joaquin Phoenix before this started, and we watched an interview with him, and both of us were like, he seems a little high in his interview. He's like slurring his words and stuff.
Yeah.
To which I have to say, the reason I know is because I'm always high.
Wow. He is not always high.
On Jesus.
Wow. Justin, my friends are watching this, okay? My family is watching this.
Do they really watch?
I don't know, but they might someday, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be like, why are you doing that podcast with a guy who's always high?
On Jesus.
Sweet.
See, now I'm flipping on everybody.
Oh, flipping.
How dare you think that I meant anything but that?
Wow. I don't know if that just fixed anything at all.
No, not at all.
No. So, yeah. So what should we take away from this whole thing?
I think the idea that the responsibility for your actions rests anywhere but with you, I think that needs to be addressed. I think we need to have a clear idea of what that means. But also, if we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of it, it's kind of like be aware of what you think and honestly what your kids think, because that's where it starts, you know? Like all of those people that go out and like shoot up a school or whatever, they were kids once, and the things that they experienced as children shaped who they became, and their choices were their own, but you can divert from that path, you know?
Right. And that's without even factoring any kind of, you know, I mean, mental illness, you know,
yeah,
other different stuff. I mean, there's other components mixed in there. You know, most people, I'd say boys, I think it's pretty normal for at some point, like, boys to kind of be like, maybe this isn't normal. Maybe I'm throwing myself under the bus here. But, like, you know, cats always land on their feet. Like, if I toss them up like a few feet, like, is it going to happen, you know?
Sure. I think what you're talking about is morbid curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like kids that like accidentally drown kittens.
Yeah.
Because they throw them in the water.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, what's going to happen if I do this?
Right.
And I think that can go to a dangerous place.
Totally.
And so, especially if you have the mind of a child.
Yeah.
I think that in and of itself is dangerous enough. So adding other elements into it is kind of nuts. But
yeah, but my point was, you know, I think typically even with that, you know, there's this level of, oh man, what did I just do? You know, like this conscience, this regret, this, you know.
Yeah.
And then we know some people don't have that, right? You know, there's... And that is something super important to, you know, watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, in people and children and find that out early. Not that we're like, oh, this children's going to grow up to kill somebody, you know.
Yeah.
But we need to wrap around and find out what the problem is. You know what I mean? And start working on a solution.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's not most kids, even when they experiment with different stuff like that, that's not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but again, that's an issue that's there long before, you know, any movie or song or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and something that I keep reading that's really interesting to me is when you experience trauma, until you've like really processed it and moved on from it, you're kind of stuck in that moment in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something similar happens, it's like you're right back.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of, and that can lead to all kinds of things like drug addiction, and because you're just trying to forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that America has never been good at, and that's like processing. Coping is kind of the first thought. And it's like we don't go the lengths that we need to go to work through stuff. And as a parent, that's something that I think that, you know, you need to be thinking about is just like, what are my kids experiencing in life, and how do they process through it? Is there a process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, I think it brings it back to processing through stuff well. Mm-hmm. Needs people to take an honest look at the situation and take accountability for their role in it.
Yeah.
You know, which when you process through these type of questions or situations, a lot of times there's going to be like, well, I should have, you know, my child needed me to be there more than I was. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of them end with, at least on a personal level, you having to acknowledge a piece that you didn't bring or a piece you did bring that wasn't healthy. Mm. We have to be honest with ourselves and confront that. But we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't do that as a nation. We're not doing that as a people. We've got these huge issues of our history.
Yeah.
That we still don't, you know, really...
We haven't come to terms with.
Yeah, we haven't acknowledged. I mean, if we acknowledge it the way it really was, you know, our history books would be written differently.
Oh, yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? A lot of ways.
And yeah. It's not a, you know, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I make mistakes, and it sucks when I do. And, yeah, I feel like a failure, and you know, some of them are ugly.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I can't be like, yeah, I, you know, I sucked it up then and I'm sorry. And now, like, I'm glad that I can look at that and I can see where I missed it. And I'm going to try to improve on that and get the resources I need to become better in that area. You know? Yeah. That's what healthy people do.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And I think in just modeling that, you know, is the first step. So acknowledging to your kids when you do something wrong, I think that's huge. Right. I mean, we could go on and on about this, dude.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. But
you got to stop long enough to actually ask yourself questions and look at things, because we can get so busy that I know that happens to me quite a bit. I get so busy and I don't even realize there is an issue, you know, with my family or with my children. And I stop, and I'm like, well, how long has this been going on?
Yeah.
You know, and you realize, like, oh, it's because I've been disconnected and engaged, you know, with all this other stuff, and this has been going on, and I haven't been, you know. Now I can acknowledge it. Now we can go there. Now I can apologize. But it still remains the fact I got distracted when my priority should have been family. You know, I was busy when my kids needed me.
Yeah.
You know? Even if they didn't really realize how much they needed me in those moments, that's not their responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so you have to stop. That rest piece you were talking about before we got on camera, like stopping to rest.
Yeah.
Like that is like checking in with your life, checking in with yourself, checking in with like, how are things going? How am I?
Yeah.
You know, it's scary when you don't do that for long periods of time.
Yeah, because you go on autopilot. And I think America, honestly, as a whole, depends on that. It's like people have to get into autopilot mode and just go to work, put in their 40 hours, and like that's what is required to just keep it running. And I think that's so short-term, you know, because people get burned out. They do stupid stuff when they're just trying to survive.
And then they don't even remember they did stupid stuff because they're on to the next stupid thing.
Yeah.
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 And the phones, the technology, it all... I mean, you take a, you know, take somebody who's always on their phone, take their phone away for a week, you know, turn off the music, turn off the TV, and watch people squirm.
Right? Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden they're like, I'm not okay.
Yeah, there's no distractions.
I'm not distracted from it, you know. And I've been there, you know.
Yeah.
It happens to me too. But I need to be at war with that happening in my life if I want to be somebody who's offering health to myself first and then the people in my care.
Yeah.
So this song, Grinding Teeth.
Which is a song that we made.
That we made.
Together.
And Daniel.
And Daniel.
And it's coming to a theater near you.
Should we clap for Daniel?
Yeah.
Way to go, Daniel. Thank you so much. What He's a guy.
Awesome.
Such a good guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that.
Yep.
It should be coming out within the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be telling the truth this time. And it should be on all listening platforms, all main listening platforms. Yeah. And be on the lookout. So we're doing these things called Misfit Sessions, and we're going to be doing these collaborative projects. We've talked about that a little bit.
Yep.
And so this is the first one, and yeah, we hope
you guys like it. Is anybody on the docket for number two?
That
number two
is a conversation for off the camera until we get some things straightened out.
All right.
We'll bring it to the light.
Because then that person might watch this and be like, oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm up.
Oh, really now?
Okay.
Or some person who feels like they should have been, who's like, what? I'm not invited? Jessica, no, you're not invited.
Yeah, Jessica, I don't even want to hear another word about it, Jessica. Like, stop texting me. Stop blowing up my phone. Just stop. Jessica. Jessica, shut up. Shut up, Jessica.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the day.
I think so, too.
Because you need a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Till next time.
See you, Jessica.